Father, I thank you for the truth of your word, and I thank you, Lord, that you are always so faithful to speak to our hearts. So, Father, I just ask you once again, Lord, that you do that very thing. Father, that by the truth of your word, Lord, that we would just receive knowledge that sets free in Jesus' name. Lord, that by the truth of your word tonight, Lord, we would learn better how to stand against all the tricks of the devil. Father, I pray that you use me tonight, Lord, that I would just be a vessel that you speak through. And I pray, Lord, for hearing ears, Lord, that this seed of the word of God will take root and bring forth a great harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are concluding our series, Learning How to Fight. And that's not because we have thoroughly covered the subject. You could teach on this subject for a year. But this is just kind of learning how to fight 101. And I almost wish that this series was on Sunday morning. But even 101 might be a little tough for some people on Sunday mornings. But to really dig in and do this for a year, I think a lot of us would drown in that. So I'm just giving you the quick shot of three messages, and I'm going to conclude it tonight. But I really believe that these three messages, though, give you a good base for knowing how to fight in this spiritual warfare that we're in. I want to do a real quick review of the last two messages in this series. First of all, we are not fighting trying to get the victory. We're fighting with the victory. We are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus spiritually, and Satan is a defeated foe. When we stand against Satan, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, a lot of believers are really confused. They are trying to live their life in such a way that they gain righteousness or gain position in Christ. And we need to know this, that that's something that's already been done for us, that Jesus Christ has already made us righteous, and he has already reconciled us to God. He took care of that, and we can rest in what he's already done. A lot of believers are also confused about who their fight is with. They fight. This is the crazy part. We talked about this last week, but I just want to review. A lot of believers fight with other believers. They think that other believers are their problem and where their battle is. It's amazing. I told you some of the silly stuff, or just kind of alluded to it at least, some of the silly stuff that we've experienced as a church here. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. We just had a little bit of that. But I know ministries like Brother Jerry Savelle, who was here Sunday, and people like Joel Osteen and Robert Morris up at Gateway. These people have whole websites devoted to their destruction. People that, religious people who believe in Jesus, but they have devoted themselves to attacking these ministers. It's amazing to me. And whether you agree with everything that they teach or not, listen, it is absolutely crazy that the devil gets Christians fighting against one another. But I want you to get this though. It's not just fighting with one another. See, one of the things, the tricks of Satan in this generation is to make Christians angry at the world and angry at the lost. And Jesus says, wrong spirit. Listen, we're supposed to reach the lost. And you can't think that the lost are your enemy and reach them. They're not our enemy. I'm preaching real good right now. Listen, they're not our enemy. I didn't say we agree with them. I didn't say that they're going to love us, but we're going to love them. Jesus said to love even your enemy. But listen, they're not really our enemy, are they? No, our fight is not with flesh and blood, but it's with the powers of darkness. So don't be deceived. Don't be confused about that. But we have to live out this Christian life by treating other people right, loving our brothers, and even loving this lost world. Don't ever get that us versus them attitude about the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as a church, seeking to save the lost, to reach people for Jesus. It's amazing. People struggling to be right with God when Jesus has already provided it. And yet, listen, they're resting when it comes to the devil. They got it all backwards. Now, we rest in what Jesus has done for us. We're right with God because of Jesus. But we're not resting when it comes to the enemy. We're standing. We're fighting. A lot of people just act like this spiritual battle doesn't exist. The New York Times reported a study about the diminishing belief in the devil among Americans. 2/3 of Americans do not believe in the devil as a living entity. In a randomly selected survey of over 1,000 Americans, pollsters asked whether they agreed that Satan is, quote, not a living being but a symbol of evil. 62% agreed with the statement. They believe that Satan has no power, no influence, because he's not real. He's just a symbol of evil. They've been deceived that there is no battle. We are resting in Jesus. We are living in this world to make him known. And we are fighting against the powers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. We're going to be there the rest of the message. We'll have some other scriptures as well, but we'll keep coming back to this passage of scripture. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. I told you before, this is the finally. This is what he's been leading up to. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. First, let's go back to that very first part. He said that we're to be strong in the Lord. Listen, we got to know who we are in Christ. Be strong in the Lord. It's about a relationship with God. That's what makes you strong in the Lord. Y'all remember the story of the sons of Sceva? Some of you do. It's in Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. This is what it says. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Listen, these guys tried to use the name of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a relationship. And I'm just telling you, if you're going to be strong in the Lord, it goes back, remember what we talked about the first week. It goes back to your relationship with Jesus Christ. It goes back to the fact what God has already done in your life. That's how you can be strong in the Lord. Second, when we allow Christ to live in us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's how we're strong in the Lord. It's because Jesus Christ is living in us. We are seated in Him. We walk in love towards others as children of light, and we stand against the devil. Amen. We realize who our enemy is, and we don't give him an inch. Now, the key thought behind this word stand is to hold your ground. It's to not be willing to give up any territory. Now listen, that's not to say that we're not advancing the kingdom of God. That's not to say that the church is not moving forward against the gates of hell. But in our battle, we need to realize we can't back down. That's what it's talking about. When it says stand, it's telling us that you can't back down. You can't shrink back in fear. You got to hold your ground and stand. I want to clarify this before we really get into this passage. The battle is real. But don't give the devil too much credit. And what I mean by that is, he's real. But one of his schemes is to get people to believe that they don't have power against him. One of his schemes is to get people to believe that they're in this battle they can't win. And you need to remember that we're fighting with the victory and that Jesus has already won our victory over the enemy. So don't live in fear. Don't start looking for demons around every corner. Let me tell you, some of the most messed up, deceived, tortured Christians I've ever known were Christians who became obsessed with demons. I mean, they're looking for demons in their shoes. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, one time, Carmen and I, well, when we first moved into the house we live in now, we just had a lot of scorpions. And, after you've been stung once or twice, you start looking for them. You know what I mean? And I got stung in the bed while I was asleep. So I can assure you that there were several times after that, I pulled the covers back before I got in bed. You know what I'm saying? And you check your shoes, make sure that one didn't crawl in your shoe. But some people, they're that way about the devil. It's just like everything. They're afraid of everything. Well, the devil might be involved in that. And the devil's, you got to check your shoe. Listen, no, you don't. Listen, we've got power over all the power of the enemy. And don't get deceived into thinking that the devil is beating you and that you're going to lose. And don't get caught up in all that. Don't live in fear and be obsessed with the devil. Be obsessed with Jesus. Now, you're obsessed with Jesus, you're going to be all right. Don't be obsessed with the devil. Those people that are obsessed with the devil are always messed up. The Bible says that the devil is seeking whom he may devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He blinds the minds of unbelievers lest they believe the glorious light of the gospel. He wants to take away your relationship with God. He wants to get your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to rob you of your health. He wants to torment you with fear. He wants to stop you from fulfilling the plan and purpose of God in your life, the things that God wants you to accomplish. See, that's what Satan really wants to do, is keep you from the destiny, from the things that God has prepared for you, to keep you from making a difference in eternity. So you got to stand. You got to know how to fight. Now we're going to go back to Ephesians 6:10. We're going to work through this passage. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's His strength. It's His might. Listen, it's His power. It's not our own. And when you're talking about the power of God, how much does He have? I heard somebody say it. All. He has all power. And so if He has all power and it's His power that we're fighting with, we don't have a power problem. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You see, we're just drawing upon His strength, and He has all the power. Jesus said in Luke 10:17, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Verse 11, He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we're going to talk about the armor of God in a minute, but I want you to notice here, He mentions the wiles of the devil. The NIV refers to it as the schemes of the devil. See, Satan has no authority, no dominion. You're not over a believer. You're not part of His kingdom anymore. There's no authority in your life. So He works through deception. He works through lies and deceit. He schemes. In John 8:44, Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Remember, he deceived Eve to get her to sin. Did you know in some way, pretty much every time somebody sins, they've been deceived on some level. I'm just telling you, in some way, on some level, deception was involved. They might say, oh no, I knew what I was doing. Well, yeah, of course you knew what you were doing, but I'm just telling you, the enemy works to deceive people, to fool them into disobeying God. Remember this. Satan is a schemer. You will not outsmart him with the wisdom of man. He's been at this a long, long time. But we're not just fighting him with the wisdom of man. We're fighting him with the power of God. And he's a defeated foe. Let's keep going. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, this is one of those things that you could spend a lot of time talking about all of these different things. But the point I want to make here tonight is that this is where the real fight is. We stand on our knees. It's in prayer. It is dealing with spiritual forces in heavenly places. And when I said stand on your knees, listen, whatever position of prayer suits you, all right? Sometimes I like to walk while I pray, and sometimes I like to lay on my face while I pray, but whatever position of prayer suits you. But I'm just saying, that's how we really fight, is in prayer. Because our battle is a spiritual battle. We're going to come back to that armor. He says, take up the whole armor of God. Now, some people actually get up and they go through the motions in the morning of putting on the armor. And there's nothing wrong with that if that helps you, you know, get ready for your day and ready for spiritual battle. That's fine. But the important thing is that we really understand the armor of God, that we understand what that's all about. It's, you know, if you pretend you're putting it on, but you don't know what it is, it's not going to do you any good. And if you really know what it is, well, you don't have to go through the motions of pretending to put it on, although it's not a bad idea. But I'm just saying the important thing is that you have to know what the armor of God is, and you have to use it. So I'll explain more about the armor in a few minutes, but let's keep going here. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Have you been in the evil day? The day that the worst report ever comes? The day that everything just seems to blow up? The day that it seems like all is lost, there's no hope and there's no way? The evil day. See, it's easy to stand when things are going good. But on the worst day of your life, are you going to be ready to stand? And having done all, to stand. He keeps saying stand. You have to stand. And here's the first and most important key when it comes down to fighting against the devil. Listen, you gotta stand. You can't give up. You can't go back. Are you with me? Listen to this. Let me phrase it one more way. You can't quit. It's the only way that a Christian can be defeated. Quit. That's it. As long as you stay in the fight, as long as you won't give up, as long as you'll keep believing and you just keep standing, you keep standing, you won't be defeated. But the day that you quit, you just lost. So you got to stand. When you've done all, you stand. Don't quit. Don't run. Stand your ground. Don't back down. Don't shrink back in fear. Stand your ground. Now, when I say that, I want you to understand, it's not just you. You're not just on your own standing there. God is fighting for us. He's backing us up. And we don't ever need to feel like, well, how can I? Listen, God is your strength, and He's the one who will fight for you and make sure that you win, that you triumph. Amen. He's the one that causes us to triumph in Christ. But you can't quit. You got to stand. Don't make this real complicated. Let's keep it simple. Stand. Just stand. Just keep standing. I say, well, you know, I was believing God for to be debt free, believing God for a better job, believing God for, you know, my finances to get better, and instead the car broke down and the washer's got to be replaced and I got fired from my job. Stand. Just keep standing. People will say you're crazy. And you get a doctor's report, and it says this is really, really bad. And then you get another test, and it says, yep, it's even worse than you thought. And you get another test, and it's, yep, still bad. Listen, you just keep standing. Real important principle in dealing with the devil. You just keep standing your ground. You know, the things in the Old Testament were recorded as examples for us to learn spiritual truth. And when the children of Israel left Egypt and the Egyptian army pursued them and cornered them at the Red Sea, they were trapped. There was nowhere for them to go. I mean, they were hemmed in, pinned. No way. They were sitting ducks. Exodus 14, 13 and 14 says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. He says, stand still, and the Lord will fight for you. Just stand and let the Lord fight for you. The Message paraphrase the last part of that. Instead of saying, hold your peace, he says, keep your mouth shut. And Carmen and I have learned this, that when things are going really, really bad, sometimes the best thing you can do is just keep your mouth shut. As you start speaking words of doubt and fear and unbelief, and you're saying all kinds of negative things, you're getting in agreement with the devil. Just keep your mouth shut and stand and let God work. Let him fight for you. When you're under attack, you just stand there with the armor of God on and trust God. Does that work? Yes, it does. Remember James 4:7? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, we just got to trust God, rest in him, submit to him, and resist the devil, and he'll flee. You say, well, how long does that take? I don't know. Sometimes it seems like it's right that instant, and sometimes it doesn't seem like anything's happening. But I know this. I don't know how long, but I do know this, that if you'll stand against him, if you'll resist him, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. And you need to understand that when you stand, you see, it's the enemy who's coming trying to take things away from you, trying to take away the promises, the blessings, trying to take away the things that God has put in your heart, things that you're believing God for. He's a thief and a liar who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you got to stand your ground against him. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now, I've said this several times, but we need to hear it several times. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. This is how he works. It's always through deception. Jesus said that the word is truth. And he also said, when you know the truth will set you free. See, it's the truth of God's word that keeps us from being deceived by the schemes of Satan. This is how important having that belt, having your waist girded with truth, having on that belt of truth. Listen, because Satan always comes at us with deception, always trying to deceive us and get us off of what the Word of God says. When Satan tried to tempt Jesus, he was in effect really trying to deceive Jesus, but Jesus spoke the Word to him until he fled. I'm telling you, the same thing will work in your life. If every time Satan comes at you with a deception, with a lie, you just start speaking the word back to him, he's going to go. He don't want to listen to that. He can't take that. You resist the devil like that, I'm telling you, he's going to flee. But you got to be armed with that belt of truth. The only way you can really know the truth is to be grounded in the Word of God. You got to fill your heart and mind with the truth of God's Word. You know, it's really easy to deceive a five-year-old. In fact, you can make up almost anything, and you just start drilling it into them, and after a while, even if they didn't believe it at first, You can get them to believe almost anything. You know why? Because they don't have much of a frame of reference of truth. But a lot of believers don't have much of a frame of reference of biblical truth. And I'm telling you, you need to be grounded in the Word of God. You got to be girded with that belt of truth so that when lies, when deception comes, you recognize it and you know how to deal with it. I can't tell you how many times I heard the thought in my head or from someone who was being a tool of the devil, you're never going to get that building built. Well, look around. I know that it's God. I also know that the enemy tried to stop us over and over and over. All kinds of ridiculous accusations and deceptions. All kinds of garbage. I'm telling you, you got to be ready for deception and lies. And the only way you can be ready is to have the truth in your heart that you know that you know that you know and you trust God. A lot of people don't wear the belt of truth because they don't bother to fill their heart and mind with truth. They're easily deceived. They may be wise in the things of the world. They may not be gullible in the eyes of the world. But if they don't know the truth of God's word, they're easy prey for Satan. The next part of the armor, he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Remember, we talked about how that we've been made righteous. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be made or become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is something that's already been given to us. And yet, most believers, to some degree, live with guilt and condemnation that keeps them from really being able to stand their ground. We're talking about standing against all the wiles of the devil. And how do you do that? You got to put on the whole armor of God. And I'm telling you, one of the main ways that Satan gets people to back down is he gets them under condemnation. He gets them thinking that there's no way that they could be blessed or they can hang on to the promises of God or that God will come through for them because you sorry scoundrel, you know what you did. You skipped your prayer time. You were ugly to somebody on the freeway. You did something real. Some of you are thinking that's nothing. You sorry dog. You did something terrible. You're so ashamed. And the devil's beating up on you with it. And you're not standing your ground against him because you feel so unworthy and unrighteous. But let me tell you something. It's not about your goodness or your works. It is about what Jesus did. Now listen, if you feel bad about something that you did and you feel guilty, well, there's a solution for that. 1 John 1:9, you confess your sins to God and He is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And when you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, you're righteous. And you stand before God, cleansed, clean, justified. The enemy, remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. So he'll come at you again and again and again, accusing you to try to get you to back down, try to get you to back off, to give up. You got to stand your ground with a breastplate of righteousness on that you know that you are forgiven and that you're right with God. And it's not about whether or not you deserve it. It's just about God being that good and that gracious. But you know that you're covered by the blood of Jesus, that breastplate of righteousness on. I love this verse from the Old Testament. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You know, it's amazing that a lot of times, you know, some of the things that we think are only New Testament truth, you find them in the Old Testament as well. Even there, God says that our righteousness is from Him. And all of the weapons of the enemy can't prevail against us because our righteousness is from Him. Breastplate of righteousness. Don't listen to Satan's accusations. I've given you this verse, all three messages in this series. I'm going to give it to you again. Here it is, Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues. See, you won't stand your ground if you feel guilty and condemned. You give up and turn and walk away every time. You have to know that you've been forgiven and that you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. He says, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. See, when you know that you're right with God, then you can stand against the devil and it doesn't matter what he does. You got to have on that breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, some say that this is about sharing the gospel. And I want to say very clearly, we should share the gospel. There are lots and lots and lots of verses that tell us we should be sharing the gospel and be witnesses of Him. But I don't really think that's what he's talking about in the context here when he's talking about standing against all the wiles of the devil and putting on the whole armor of God. I think he's talking about our peace. He's talking about, listen, first of all, he says the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that word that's there for preparation, it's talking about that you're always prepared. It's talking about being sure-footed, that you're not knocked off balance easily. Listen, you got to have peace. Because when the enemy comes against you, when that evil day, remember we read about the evil day, when that evil day happens, and there's nothing peaceful at all on the outside, you got to have peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. It's John 14, 27-28. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, I like that old song, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. I got to tell you, the devil didn't give it to me and he can't take it away either. Jesus gave me this peace. And you need to always be prepared with a sure footing because you got peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this verse, Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Love that verse. The God of peace. I'm telling you, the God of peace, he can get violent when he needs to. He's going to crush Satan under your feet like a bug. But you got to have the gospel of peace on your feet. Verse 16 says, above all, there's something important coming, isn't it? When he says above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all, believe God, trust God, stand on the word of God. Even when all the circumstances look bad, when everything's going wrong, when nobody will stand with you, you still stand by faith. Believe in God, taking the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See all that stuff he throws at you? All kinds of attacks and accusations, whatever it is. Terrible things that happen in your life, fiery darts. Let me tell you what the answer is. Use the shield of faith. That you're not just living by what you see, what you feel, what you hear. Listen, when you're really living by faith, there'll be times when people may accuse you of, you know, not living in reality. We're living in a greater reality, the truth of God's Word. Because I know that the things that are eternal are unseen things. That's what the Bible says. But the things that we see are temporal. They're all going to change. And I'm telling you that you got to be willing to stand by faith, taking that shield of faith. Above all, trust God. See, this is where so many lose the battle and allow Satan to come in and destroy, is a bad report comes or something bad happens. They see the wind and the waves. Remember when Peter was walking on the water and he sees the wind and the waves boisterous and he becomes fearful and he starts to sink? Now see, when the circumstances are adverse, that's the time that you've got to trust God and have faith and believe Him no matter what it looks like. You got to keep your faith strong. Stay full of God's Word. Listen to me. Don't listen to the wrong voices, but keep listening to God. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we talk about these things some over the years, and some of you that have heard this several times, well, you just bear with it because it needs to be said tonight. But when Carmen was believing God and fighting the good fight of faith against cancer, we didn't tell very many people. And the main reason was, is because we didn't want to hear all of the negative comments and all of the garbage. Just a very few, small handful of people knew about it. And yet we heard from across town, from another church, well, Carmen's got cancer and she's not doing anything about it. Not doing anything but believing God, the greatest thing. Now, by the way, there were some other things that she did that she felt like God led her to do, involving her diet and exercise and some other things, but I'm just telling you, in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of unbelieving believers, and they will say all kinds of horrible things when you're standing in your fight, in your battle. You can't listen to those voices. You got to stay in God's Word and keep your faith strong. You got to have that shield of faith if you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because I'm telling you, when your faith is wavering, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you don't know if God's going to come through or not, I'm telling you, the devil is pushing you back. You're not standing your ground. If you're going to stand, you got to have the shield of faith. Faith has to be based on what God has said. See, we believe the Word of God. I want to read this to you from Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. How the worlds get here? They were framed by the Word of God. And the things that we see, listen, are subject to the Word of God. You need to remember that when you're believing God, when you're trusting God, and your faith is based on the Word of God, not fairy tale land, not something you made up or you just, you know, wishful thinking, positive thinking, something you wanted to believe, but your faith is based on the Word of God, it is more real than what you see with your eyes. And that shield of faith will quench all those fiery darts that the enemy brings against you. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Don't let the devil mess with your mind. Jesus is your Savior. He saved you, set you free, delivered you, healed you, made you whole. Amen. We're in that series right now on Sundays about so great a salvation. You need to know what it is to be saved. That helmet of salvation. You need to know what Jesus has provided for you in salvation. Not only that you're forgiven and going to heaven, that you've been rescued from sin and the penalty of sin, but you've been delivered from every bondage. You've been healed. You've been made whole, body, soul, and spirit. That helmet of salvation protects you. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. Put it down in your heart. When you're in trouble, you can run to God's Word and start, you know, closing your eyes and pointing at a verse and saying, God, speak to me. Or you can start reading, hunting, and looking. That's okay. But I just got to tell you that when you're really in a battle, how much better it is when you know that verse already and you're in that battle and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just brings that verse back to your remembrance. Now, I know the Lord, the Holy Spirit could give you a verse that you've never read, never heard, never studied or meditated. But he doesn't usually choose to work that way, does he? No, he brings back those verses that you've put down in your heart. And I'm just telling you, you need that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's powerful. Remember, it framed the worlds. Angels and demons have to take heed to it. That's how powerful it is. And when you, as a believer, are speaking the Word of God, there's such power in that. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you have the armor of God on, you're ready to pray and do warfare. Let me read these verses again. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, church, we got to do warfare because there's so many that need it. Do you know anybody that's down and out? I mean, they're out of church and just not really living for God, not doing right, and their life is a train wreck. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you can do for that person is pray for that person. Do spiritual warfare. I'm talking about you get a promise from God and you start believing God and you stand and you just keep standing and you just keep standing. You don't back down. They look like they're getting worse. You just keep standing. How about some real spiritual person? Or how about somebody that's, you know, somewhere in between? Maybe your pastor. And you just pray and you pray and you stand and you stand and you stand. See, the Apostle Paul put himself in line for prayer there, didn't he? We all need it, whether it's somebody that's backslidden and away from God or it's the Apostle. We need people to pray for us and do warfare for us. I remember a story from years and years ago. My brother Jerry Seville told this story about how he was in a great battle. And one day, Brother Kenneth Copeland called him and said, Jerry, we're going to be doing warfare for you today. You just go out and relax and enjoy the day. I thought that was pretty cool. But I just want you to understand this. You can stand in the gap for somebody else. Some of the things in the Bible, I know that it kind of, it takes a lifetime just to begin to understand some of these things. But it's so strange in one passage where God says that he looked for a man to stand in the gap and there was none. And so judgment came. See, some people think prayer doesn't make a difference. I'm talking about believers. Some Christians think it doesn't matter if we pray. God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap and pray. That's how powerful prayer is. That's how important our spiritual fight is. And I want to encourage you to fight and hold your ground. Use the power of prayer. Use the power of the name of Jesus. I remember the name of Jesus didn't do the sons of Sceva any good because they didn't know Jesus. But when Peter and John were walking to the temple and there was a man who was lame and he asked for alms and they said, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. There's great power in that name. I tell you, church, when we pray and we're praying in the name of Jesus, we need to know that that victory is ours if we'll just stand. Having done all, he says, again, he says, stand. For some of us, we probably realize some ground that belongs to us that maybe we gave up at some point. I got an answer for that. Take it back. I'm just getting old songs tonight. Anybody remember that old one? I went to the enemy's camp. I took back. I got to quit before I start singing. Anyway, but most of us, I tell you, we know some things like that. We need to just go back and say, you know what? Satan, you talked me out of that, but I'm getting it back. It's mine in Jesus' name. And stand your ground. Whatever your battle is, if you walk away with just one thing from this message tonight, take this: stand. Don't give up. Just keep standing. You'll win. Amen. Well, stand with me right now. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for every believer in this building. Lord, I thank you that they are soldiers. They are warriors in the kingdom of God. And I pray, Father, that you would just equip them. I pray, Father, that the truths of your word would come alive in their heart. And Lord, that in that evil day, they'll be ready for whatever the enemy throws against them. I pray, Lord, that you just put upon us a renewed desire and hunger, Lord, to pray, to be that one that stands in the gap for our brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that we'll just begin to see, like never before, the kingdom of darkness being pushed back and the kingdom of God being advanced forcibly in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. And Father, I just pray for restoration, Lord, of the things that the enemy has come to steal and kill and destroy. Lord, I just pray for restoration, for a return in the name of Jesus. And Father, that you just bless your people. Lord, may our faith rise to a new level, Lord, to believe you and trust you for great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.